your host, Eddie V. Thank you guys for tuning in. Tonight's topic, I'm actually going to be dedicating some of my time and talking about my history with Sony's PlayStation. It's been 20 years that the system has been out, so they announced a PlayStation 4 20-year edition kind of style with the color scheme of the PlayStation 4 looking like the regular PlayStation, and then they like got some things for the backgrounds. I remember back in 1995, I had just turned 15, and it was my birthday, and my parents took me to Target and actually spent $300 on the PlayStation. It was really, I think, you know, when I've been reading EGM for a long time and looking at the pictures from Japan and like E3 and just other previews and stuff about this new system coming from Sony, I kind of find out and realized that it was actually a prototype to be the CD player for the Super Nintendo. And since the plan fell through, Sony decided to turn it into video game console, and this is how the PlayStation brand had started. It was very popular, sold a lot of copies, but there was also problems with the system. If anyone can remember that of back in 95 when it came out, anyone who had the PlayStation, you would get a good use out of it maybe for a couple of weeks depending on the games that you played and things like that and how much time you spent. Because the lens wasn't so good at one point in time, it stopped loading games. And you had to turn it upside down to actually play your game console. Somehow it forced the lens to drop down and still read the system. And I remember like maybe a month and a half after having the system, and I didn't really play it a lot when I had it, because I only had a couple of games, and plus I had school and everything. It started messing up, and I had to do that trick. For a lot of people who had it, it was one of the first console games that used the trick that I know of that you could play international games. So you would kind of open up the CD drawer, the CD top of the PlayStation, and you would kind of like go to the menu screen, because you used to be able to, since it was a CD based ROM game system, you were able to put music CDs and play it. So what would happen is that you will kind of have like maybe a pencil or something, maybe like a paper clip, and you will mold it, and you will put it into like the system so that it would load the game, and then like a demo disc or maybe American game, and you would take it out. Since that part was still down, you would put the import game in and kind of go to the screen to load the game. And what would happen is it was kind of a data kind of trick. It would load the game, and you could play that international game on your system. I don't think they changed it when the new console came out, because they did do like a mini version of it when it came out. I know my friend, he had a fighting game, and he did the trick, and I was just like, wow, that's kind of cool. I never got a chance to do it because I didn't own any Japanese games or anything like that. But it was kind of a cool trick. It was weird how people found out about it, but I know I remember reading it in EGM and one of the issues that it came out, and I'm kind of surprised that you was able to do that. Now, for me personally, I was more about just the games that was coming out here in America. I kind of wasn't worried about international games until I seen maybe Final Fantasy VII, and then that's when kind of my gaming space grew. Now, I've always been a Nintendo kid. I always loved the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo at that time. Me having the PlayStation 1, I did end up getting the N64 and was playing kind of both systems at the same time. You know, playing some third party and first party on Nintendo, and playing some first and third party on PlayStation. And for me personally, since during that time, since I had grew from a lot of RPGs of playing on the Super Nintendo with Final Fantasy VII and other games like that, I was getting a bigger and grandier experience. Even playing Pokemon on the Game Boy, you know, I became a real big RPG fanatic. And the PlayStation 1 was home to a lot of great RPGs. But there was also home to a lot of great other titles too. So I'm just going to run down and talk about what I experienced with those games. So when I first got my PlayStation 1, the first game I got, and this is going to be a shock to everybody, and I don't know if I ever talked about it, this is going to be a shock to everybody. The first game I got was Endzone by Konami. Now, if anyone who was at the arcade at that time, Konami put out a game called Run and Gun, which was a basketball game. And they haven't did a basketball game since Double Dribble for the NES. And anybody who remembers that, or if you have a Wii or Wii U, I believe it's on the Wii U also, but I know it's on the Wii. You could download it on Virtual Console and experience what Double Dribble was. It was a big basketball game back in the 80s. Run the Gun was a big game from the 90s from Konami, because you didn't really get a lot of sports games from them. And with Run the Gun, it's kind of hard to explain, but you kind of play like in a vertical kind of third person sense. You could see everybody, and then if another team got the ball, the level was switched. So it was switched like to the other side. So it wasn't 2D or anything like that. It was kind of like vertical, 3D. And it was kind of weird. But I remember playing that game at the arcade and having fun with it. And this was during the time with NBA Jam coming out too. You know, they had tournament editions and hyper edition and all that other stuff from Midway. And I remember, you know, because of Run and Gun was such fun, that me playing it in the playing it so much in the arcade, when I got my PlayStation 1, I seen Endzone by Konami, and the style of it was like NBA, not NBA, but it was the style of Run and Gun. And I remember just playing that game probably for weeks upon weeks upon weeks. And I wasn't a big sports games fan, and I respect sports game players who play it. I know definitely for me, I haven't, you know, really played a lot of them. Definitely with the way that the sports genre is now, I'm usually, you know, just like, give me the action adventure role playing games and things of that nature. So I'm really cool with doing things of that. But I remember Run a Gun being maybe my second sports game that I ever bought. If you don't count NBA Jam, the first, or even, well, yeah, Tecmo Bowl, I could count, but I didn't buy Tecmo Bowl. Actually, I just used to play over my cousin's house. The first game, sports game I actually bought was a football game from Capcom back on the Super Nintendo. Yes, I admit that I paid like $10 for the game, because it was at KB Toy Store for real cheap, and I picked it up there. And I used to play Joe Montana Football 1 and 2 with my brother on his Sega Genesis. So it was kind of cool playing that. But you know, with the PlayStation 1, when I first got the system, Endzone was my first game. Moving on from that, and I'm just going to be jumping around from a lot of games from different time and areas. My first N-rated game I brought was Resident Evil. And I was 17, actually, and I had an ID. And I actually remember going to Montgomery Ward's. You know, I was working at Six Flags Great America during the weekends, and we got paid every week. So I had some money on me, and I remember going to Montgomery Ward's and picking up Resident Evil. And I played maybe 45 minutes of it. I got to the point where the dog jumps out the window, and I remember just running and going to the next thing, and I had to cut the game off because I had somewhere else to be at in high school, and I'm just like, are you kidding me? So, and of people who don't remember, when the PlayStation first came out and they had the games, they had these long cardboard boxes of the cases that they had, and you know, on the side of it said PlayStation, but it was mostly black, and there was like this hard kind of bound case. The instruction manuals were a little bit long, and like the CD was like in the middle, so you kind of see it. They end up going to jewel cases maybe a few years after that, maybe 2 years after the PlayStation came out. But I did have the original first Resident Evil when it first came out, and I did beat the game. But man, it was such a good game. And it's weird because I've never played survival horror games, and that kind of was my first one, and I got a little bit creeped out because I didn't know what was going on, and it changed my view of, you know, control. And I learned how to do the tank controls and got so familiar with it, and it was just like, you know, the fear came from not knowing what's going to happen to me. You know, I would jump when I die because, you know, I would just get killed, or I would get tense because I didn't have enough ammo or things like that, and that means I would have to fight enemies with the knife. I had to balance out my typewriter tape because that was the only way that you could save for the game. And you know, you couldn't be going to the typewriter and save, and you know, anytime that something happened to you or didn't happen to you, you know, you kind of had to find your typewriter tape, and you had to play as much as you can till you got to a typewriter, and like a lot of it got covered. I remember playing about 6 to 8 hours of it of my first playthrough, and I played it with Jill. And you know, I ended up dying and stuff like that. And the first time I did beat it, I did play it as Jill, and then I went back and played it as Chris and beat it with him. I remember getting the rocket launcher and beating the tyrant for the first time, and it was very weird to play something like that because it felt like I accomplished something playing that survival horror game for that first time. And the weird thing about Resident Evil was that, you know, even with all the controls and the spooks and the zombies and all the puzzles and stuff like that, I didn't finish up the series on PlayStation, on like Resident Evil 2. I didn't play that actually until the N64. Sorry about that. I didn't play that Resident Evil 2 until the N64. I actually beat it on N64. And Resident Evil 3, I ended up beating on the Dreamcast. Now, 2 and 3 did come out to the PlayStation, but I've never, just like as a main series, I never beat 2 and 3 on the PlayStation, because 2 was 2 discs, and I believe Resident Evil 3 was 1 disc for PlayStation. I definitely know that, like I said, on the Dreamcast it had 1 disc, on the N64 it was just 1 cartridge, and I ended up being it on, it was weird playing Resident Evil on the N64, Resident Evil 2, but I did enjoy it. I did beat Resident Evil 4 on GameCube years later, and I did play 5 on PlayStation 3. But, you know, the regular Resident Evil, that was my first N-rated game that I personally purchased. Now, I'm not saying that was my first N-rated game that I played, because I had Mortal Kombat 3 and some other games that I played. Moving on with the list of my history. First reaction that made me scream no was Final Fantasy VII. Now, of course, Aerith getting stabbed by Sephiroth made me drop my jaw and say no. And I remember being so somewhat involved in the story, but I was so much into the grindy of RPGs, getting stronger and using Cloud, Aerith, and Tifa, and maybe another character if I wasn't using Tifa, to play that game, like Barret or something like that. But I always kept Aerith in my party, and when she died, it boggled my mind to see that in cinematic form. Just like, how can I lose? I have never lost a character in an RPG that I cared so much about. Because, A, Aerith was my healer, plain and simple. And to see her, you know, sacrifice herself in the end, you know, at that point in time. And it was a 3-disc game. And it was just like, wow, this game has to be huge. But when I got to seeing that part and me screaming no and just not crying or anything like that, but just have my mouth agape and just being shocked, being like, how? Like, you know, it took, for me personally, it took RPGs to another level of storytelling. And, you know, I read later on, I think Sakaguchi was talking about they had to make a decision. You know, it was going to be Aerith or it was going to be Tifa. And it just ended up being Aerith dying. And, you know, a lot of people was trying to make a code that you could bring her back and things like that. But you can't bring Tifa back. I mean, not Tifa. You can't bring Aerith back. She has shown up in the Kingdom Hearts games and things like that, with Cloud being all wrapped up. And, you know, with Final Fantasy Advent Children, you see her mouth and kind of like talking and stuff like that. And it's kind of weird because a lot of people who love Aerith like really wants to see her come back. And it's weird with RPGs. And me and my friend always discuss this. It's just like, you know, do you get killed or do you faint in RPGs to use a Phoenix down? Because you get the game over screen when your party is somewhat killed. But how do, you know, you physically get killed like that in a cutscene and you can't use a Phoenix down or a spell to bring them back to life? It's always been weird with that. But definitely, you know, Final Fantasy VII, one of the best RPGs for that system, and it was one of the best JRPGs that expanded the genre on the PlayStation. Definitely for me, I played a lot of RPGs on it, and there's gonna be some more that I get to. Not that I do recommend. The top two that I do recommend is Final Fantasy VII and IX. You can skip VIII. Some people love VIII, but VIII is just, eight is a decent passable game. Moving on from that, my first regret of using birthday money on this game, Fighting Force by Eidos. Now, I was always into beat 'em up games from the arcade and Super Nintendo: Double Dragon, Streets of Rage, Final Fight, Ninja Turtles, just weird, you know, Neo Geo beat 'em ups and things of that nature, you know, arcade and stuff. So when even the Die Hard game that came out for, or was it Die Hard? Or no, Virtual Cop. I think it's Virtual Cop 4 that came out to the arcade by Sega. That was a beat 'em up. I was into games like that. And when I seen Fighting Force, the previews, I was just like, ooh, you know, a 3D brawler, beat 'em up game. You know, I'm a kid. I'm like, I love these kind of games. So I actually went to GameStop or EB Games, I think it was at that time. Or it might have been GameStop at that time. And I bought Fighting Force. I actually spent $40 on the game because for some reason it was on sale, and I just ended up getting it for that cheap. And I remember getting home and playing that game and just not enjoying it at all. That was before I was reading reviews and things of that nature. I believe I bought the game, played it, and EGM had just released, you know, their new magazine. So I spent part of my birthday money buying that and found out that the review for Final Force was in that game. And I think they gave it like fours and sixes. And it was just a bore. Like, the hit detection was off. And I was just like, I've never played a 3D brawler. I mean, it was my first 3D brawler that I brought and played. But I kind of felt like I was robbed. And then, and I end up going back to the Super Nintendo, and I end up going back to the Sega Genesis and playing Turtles in Time and Hyperstone Heist and Final Fight 2 and, you know, Streets of Rage 2, and just playing these brawlers that I, you know, Batman Returns by Konami, playing these old school brawlers that I had on my Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis, and you know, and just thinking about the brawlers and arcades and stuff, and I was just like, how did the 2D brawler transfer to 3D brawler, and this just feels terrible. And I remember when I got finished with Final Force, I did all the levels, you know, all the difficulties, played with all the characters. That was one of the first games that I traded in for something else. I think I traded in to get a, like, an N64 game, like, later on down the line. And I was just like, I was so disappointed as a kid. One of the first 3D first, now this is going somewhere. The first 3D first person platform was Jumpin' Flash. He was like this rabbit jumping up on different platforms that you could shoot enemies and things like that. The perspective was like first person. So that was kind of my first thing. I never got to beat it, but it was a real early, I think really it was a launch game when it first came out for the PlayStation. So it was a really fun game. I don't think it's on PlayStation Network. I kind of wish it was on, so I could go back and try it and try to finish it. It felt weird because the jumping, you would jump real high, and depending on, you know, when you come down, you would look down to land on your landing platforms, and you kind of could see that in Metroid Prime, that you could jump. And then, or, you know, when you're falling down off a ledge, you could time the way that you fall onto a platform. And definitely with Metroid Prime being a first person platformer, action platform, it kind of took what Jumper Flash could have been and just made it better. The first 3D fighter that I did play for the PlayStation was Toshinden, and it was pretty much garbage. It was fun for maybe 45 minutes, and then I was just like, I can't play this. The fighter to rectify playing Toshinden was Soul Edge. Now, it's turned into the Soul Calibur series, but anyone who remembers Soul Edge from back in the 90s, or I think it's like 96, 97, or maybe 98, I played that game, and this is when it was just Namco. It wasn't Namco Bandai, but it was just straight Namco. And I remember playing Soul Edge at the arcade, and I wasn't good at 3D fighters, but I just loved playing the game, you know, playing with Taki and all the other characters and learning them. So when it came to PlayStation 1 and they expanded the game, you know, where you got to meet certain conditions to fight, you know, fight players, you know, to gain weapons, and you know, they kind of have like this RPG mechanic to it to get better weapons and stuff. I was just like, oh, this is cool, and I spent a lot of time playing it. I remember buying the game and spending maybe 4.5 months trying to learn as much as I can. So it's kind of like the Street Fighter 2 mentality, and I kind of talked about it where I pretty much learned Street Fighter 2 from my cousin, and then took my skills that I learned to the arcade. And it's always been like that. Definitely when it came to Soul Calibur 2, I had the GameCube version. Not Soul Calibur 2. Soul Calibur 2 I played on the Dreamcast, not the GameCube. Soul Calibur 3 I played on... was it Soul Calibur 3? The one that came out for the GameCube with Link, I also trained in that. But Soul Calibur 2, definitely for the Dreamcast, Soul Calibur, I'm sorry. let me get this right. I'm sorry, everybody. Soul Edge was the PlayStation. Soul Calibur was the sequel to Soul Edge. And then Soul Calibur 2, which is just, it's Soul Edge, but it's supposed to be actually, you know, Soul Edge 3, but it just turned to the Soul Calibur series. So Soul Calibur 2, I played on the GameCube, and all three games I truly love. I think those are the best three games. I learned them, you know, took time out, you know, and just brought my skill, like I said, to the arcade. And they're still great games. But like, I love playing Soul Edge, seeing the green little bar, and just beating the computer up and other fighters with weapons. I thought that was real cool. It took the idea of Samurai Showdown for the Neo Geo, that series. It took that kind of 2D sprite fighting game and made it 3D. It just made it fast, fluid, and fun. And I still, to this day, enjoy it. Before I continue on, get on to some other games, I do want to mention that my next door neighbor, he also had the PlayStation 1. And that's where I played Tomb Raider. And we kind of cheated the game because there was a code, I think, to do a level select. But I ended up going to his house and playing a lot of it at his house. So I never brought any of the Tomb Raiders. I think I got two or three of them, of the Tomb Raider games. I know I got one for Wii. I believe I got one for the Xbox. And then I got Tomb Raider for the PlayStation 3. But we did play 1 and 2. 2 we actually did beat all the way through. It was one of the most, not saying it was really difficult, but it was just, it was weird because of the graphics and you couldn't see anything. So it was our first kind of trial and error kind of game that we played. So I just want to mention that. And we kind of both had almost similar games, but he had more sports games. I had the action and RPGs and fighters and things like that. I would bring my games over to his house. And we just, on Saturdays and Sundays and sometimes Fridays, we would just play PlayStation and have fun. We was also playing our Super Nintendo and 64 and things like that. We haven't played any games in a while, but I should rectify that. I got to get rid of them and play some games with them. Getting back to the list, though, this game brought me back to the series was Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Everybody call it a Metroidvania game, but I spent maybe 2.5 weeks playing that game. You know, it took my love of RPG grinding and finding everything. And then when I found out that, oh, there's a reverse upside down castle, you equip this and beat Dracula with this. And it was just like, wow, I didn't know that. So when I found that out, I got to like 98.1%. I don't know if I was ever missing something, but man, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, playing that 2D game, 2D/3D game, on the PlayStation was weird because at the time, it was rumored or it was said that, you know, Sony didn't want a lot of 2D games on the systems. Now, of course, the Sega Saturn was also out when the PlayStation came out, and they were able to do a lot of the Capcom games better than the PlayStation. As for 2D arcade 2D fighters, because they had like a 4 mega RAM cart that you would put in the Saturn and play that game, and it was just like, wow, I guess so. So, you know, if you want the best experience with Darksiders, Spider-Man's fighting game, Marvel versus Capcom in the Marvel like fighting game, you know, everybody was playing most of that on the Saturn than they were on the PlayStation. I think the PlayStation took a long time to load, and I mean it gave somewhat arcade quality, but to me, you know, and to other people, they just preferred to play it on Saturn. Only thing that I had a problem with the Saturn was really the controller. I mean, it's a really good system to think of that nature, but I didn't get to play Panzer Dragoon Actually, I did play Panzer Dragoon on the Saturn. My cousin had it, and I don't know what happened to it. But yeah, but Symphony of the Night, Castlevania, got some good music. Alucard is one of my best characters from the series. It kind of, you know, made Castlevania more popular at that time. And when it came to the GBA and the DS games, that was the way that you made Castlevania games. And now that they went into like a God of War style, the last game that came out, Lord of Shadows 2, didn't do so well. And then everybody, and yes, even the Castlevania game for the N64 and maybe for the PlayStation 2 and the Xbox, there were decent games. I know the N64 game wasn't all that good. And I never got to see the one for the Dreamcast that was in, that ended up getting canceled. You know, a lot of people were fine with it, but it just wasn't Castlevania to them. So, Symphony of the Night really brought me back into being interested in Castlevania. Because after Castlevania 2, I kind of was like, you know, didn't play Castlevania 3 and didn't, you know, and Dracula X didn't actually come here. I did play Castlevania 4 for Super Nintendo, but I was just like, it is what it is. It's just regular Castlevania. And I felt like when they included that Metro, sorry about that, that Metro style game into the Castlevania universe, it made it better. One of the finest series that I brought for the PlayStation was the Street Fighter Alpha games 1, 2, and 3. And then I actually bought Street Fighter Third Strike on Dreamcast, and I did buy Alpha 3 on Dreamcast, but the Alpha games 1 to 3, which is arcade, that's when I felt like it was better on the PlayStation. And you know, playing, doing the Ken and Ryu fight versus M. Bison, doing that secret fight, and just playing, just the animation that Capcom was able to do on the PlayStation, hand drawn 2D sprites, was mind blowing. It's just I'm still kind of big on anime. I love anime, but they had the best art style on the PlayStation, you know. And I was just like, I might be very retro. This might be like 32-bit of a 16-bit style game, but it's just like, man, these graphics are beautiful. And the fighting, I always love the competition. I love, you know, trying to get better. And definitely with Street Fighter, I haven't played Street Fighter 4, but with Street Fighter for the, you know, the Alpha series on the PlayStation, it was just awesome to me. And it's still, you know, if I'm able to play and pick it up and just be, or go to an arcade, I would use my PlayStation 1 skills that I learned, because I didn't really play it that much in an arcade. I played 1 and 2, and I mean, I played 1, 2, and 3, but you know, it used to be in arcades maybe for a month or two, and then it would disappear because it just wasn't popular with a lot of people in my area. Definitely when it was at the mall that I went to, you know, I every time I try to see it and I have money or tokens for it, I would go and play that game and try to get as far as I can. excuse me. But when it came to the PlayStation, that when it was announced coming out, I was at the store buying the game. Now, these are just some games that I tried that I didn't finish, but Pop Rapper the Rapper, Medieval, Beyond the Beyond, which is a terrible RPG. Please do not play that. Watch the video and see how people suffer through that game. Wild Arms, Legend of Legaia, Twisted Metal, which was a big game, you know, car arena fighting game. Me and my friend played that. Einhinder, which was Square, I believe it was Square at that time. It wasn't Square Soft or Square Enix. I think they dropped the Soft like later on, but I think it was just regular Square when that game came out. It was their one of their shoot 'em up games. It's like a one player spaceship shoot 'em up games. It was very hard, but it was a fun game. Toomba, which you could find on the PlayStation Network. It was a 2D kind of action game. platformer, really fun. Saga Frontier, which was by Capcom, one of their worst RPGs to date that I ever played. And I'm glad that I rented that game and didn't buy it. Now, this one is kind of these last few points that I'm making, and I'm going to be heading out. Capcom's Breath of Fire theme versus Suikoden. And Suikoden is by Konami. These are two great RPGs, but Breath of Fire 3 was better than Suikoden to me. Suikoden had the characters, it had a weird story, but Breath of Fire 3, there was something about having my main character, Ryu, you know, as a kid, him being scared with the sword, and then it was on a dyad of a game on the land, and then when your character actually grows up, you know, he's better with the sword. And then later on, he turns into a dragon. And you fought a female version of God at the end of the game. And it's just like, voila, I killed God. And it's a female. It's very Japanese. Very awesome game. Truly love it. I believe it's on PlayStation Network. I have to check. If it is, I personally need to download it and play that game again. But it was one of the first games that I looked into the ad. And I think I talked about this. There was a tiger who was like who was kind of like a monk. And he was he sat down in Indian style. You see these like balls around his neck. And I remember drawing him in high school, drawing him on the computer just using a mouse and trying to get the colors and things like that. It took me pretty much, I would say, about a month to draw, because I only had such a limited time, and I could have easily did it with my hand, you know, because I was drawing a lot of ads, anything that was kind of pencil, that looked like art, that wasn't 3D modeling, I would draw. And definitely when I seen this one, Capcom and Konami were big for this, and so I would just get a piece of paper and try to imitate and draw it. Now, it wasn't perfect or anything like that, but doing it on a computer for the first time, that was really exciting to me. And when I actually got to play Breath of Fire 3, it was kind of hard to understand because of the character, your main character Ryu being a kid and him being scared. And then halfway through the game, he grows up and he's more powerful. So it was, you know, I played that more. And the reason why I did have Breath of Fire 3 and Suikoden, Suikoden was good. You know, you're finding all the characters and building up your castles, and you could choose different characters. But, you know, having a six-party role-playing game, kind of, I only picked a few people and then, you know, pretty moved on from that. I did beat both games, but, you know, it was all about collecting the characters so we could, and I only collect like about 48 of them, and then I moved on. I mean, there was no reason for me to collect them all and try to see. There was no best ending that I know of. I did have Chrono Trigger for the system, and I did have Chrono Cross. And Chrono Cross, I believe, I don't like the fighting mechanic of that game. It was very weird on how you did the battle system in there. And you can watch videos of it. I never beat it. And I kind of don't plan on going back to it. I think I ended up watching a video of it. Even the final battle of you playing the musical note thing was just stupid. Moving on from that, I did talk about Crash Bandicoot 1 and 2 and Spyro the Dragon in some past episodes. But like, my cousin let me borrow those games, and I 100% them all three of those games. I actually beat Chrono Trigger on the PS1 before I beat it on the DS. I did rent the game on the Super Nintendo, and I did get like halfway through the game, but I just never beat it. Still one of the great games. I will put Final Fantasy VIII over Chrono Cross. That I will say. I know I said this a little bit earlier, but Final Fantasy IX is one of the best RPGs for me for that system. I love Final Fantasy VII. I love Breath of Fire 3. Suika Den was good. It was okay, but you know, like I said, Breath of Fire 3 was kind of better. Final Fantasy IX presented Vivi for me, and the story, the comedy, you know, the fighting was old SNES like role playing game, and I truly enjoyed that. I really, you know, had a great time that it was on. It was that it was there. That it just had that. It just had something that, you know, it was retro, but yet modern, and it just grabbed me, and it was just like, bam, I'm back into that role playing mindset of old school gaming, you know, as a kid. And I do have it on my PlayStation 3, so you can, it is on PSN. And it's weird because I'm kind of waiting for I wish they would put the Final Fantasy 12 on PlayStation Network so I could buy it and go through that game. I still own Final Fantasy 12 for the PlayStation 2 and a physical copy, but I kind of just want to download it and play it. I did play Persona on the PlayStation when it came out, and it was just too weird for me. Because I never played anything like that, and I wasn't into that kind of game. It was weird to learn. I think it's on PlayStation Network, and I kind of want to download it and give it another try. I never played the Persona 2 ones, but I think I need to download those games and give it a try. The one PlayStation game that I put PlayStation's The Legend of Zelda is Alundra by Working Designs. And Alundra, it is on PSN, and I need to buy that game probably tonight. It's a top-down, simple kind of RPG, one of the best ones. It's a tricky platforming game, so you kind of gotta just play it and solve the puzzles. Contra Legacy of War, that was one of the worst Contra games. I didn't play the second thing to it, but yeah, I don't know what Konami was thinking of. I think after the success of Contra 3, I think because of games going into this 3D world, I guess they thought that they, you know, games like that, like Loaded and Overkill, games that was very violent, I think, you know, Konami was trying to go in that direction. It just wasn't fun. Loaded, you know, that was a game from Interplay. It was kind of a dungeon crawler game. Your guns got stronger, but, you know, you just had to shoot enemies, collect key cards, open doors, and then go on to the next level. It was a really long game of repetitiveness, and Overkill by Konami, you know, they just went on violence. It was like a diagram game. You know, it's like on the slant. You just find keys and weapons. It just went things like that. There was a lot of other PlayStation games that I did play from Konami. Legacy of Kain, I did play and beat. That was really fun. I played the sequel of Legacy of Kain on the Dreamcast and ended up beating that game. So there were some sequels and stuff that I played on the Dreamcast. But that's kind of a little bit of my history with the PlayStation 1. If you guys who had the PlayStation 1 or are experiencing it, some of the games on PlayStation 3, I want to know. You guys can email me at myop2comment@yahoo.com. That's MYOP, the number 2, COMMENT @yahoo.com. You can also friend me on Facebook under Ever Varnell. The Facebook page will be coming next year for Optional Opinions, so do check it out, and hopefully you guys like the page and subscribe. You guys can follow me on Twitter at @ThatRetroCole. Read some of my crazy ideas. I kind of been talking about Amiibos in different sets. Also, I got writing on IGN. Just look under Anime, ENIME. And I got to get back to it kind of like this week or sometime soon. I got to finish my blogs about there's something about Rockstar games that I just don't like. Some of their quality that they present just doesn't make their games polished. So I need to finish some of those stories up right there. But thank you guys for tuning in and checking it out. Like I said, let me know what you guys think about the PlayStation, and let me know what your history was with that system. Like I said, you can email me at myout2comment@yahoo.com. Like I said, follow me on Twitter at @ThatRetroCode and friend me on Facebook under Everett Rondell. This has been Optional Opinion. You guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather. I know for us in the Midwest, it's getting cold. So snow is about to come. But, you know, everybody else, if you're not working this weekend or you got time off, play some great games. If you have a PlayStation 3 or your PlayStation 2 or even your regular PlayStation, hook it up and enjoy some old retro games. And just... you know, have fun. So congrats to Sony with the PlayStation 1. I look more forward to great things they would do with their systems, with the PlayStation 4, hopefully with this new, with this current gen now that they present more great games. And I wish them the best. Though I'm looking more forward to what Nintendo got for next year. Sorry to throw that in. But you guys have a good night. Have a good weekend. And I'm out. Peace.